I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servant. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then the fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When the fellow servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, the Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." May God add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate that. You know, one of the things, and you hear me say quite often, and it's so true, and until you actually understand what is written, from the perspective of those at the time, you really can't get the impact. This thing has an unbelievable impact when you get all the details. But first I want to ask, is there anyone here who believes that something so horrible has been done to you that it's unforgivable? Do you believe that there is anything that you just cannot forgive? You know, if you carry this around in your heart and mind and you don't forgive and you don't forget, usually it's going to hurt you more than it is the person you're angry with. That's just the way it works. This parable is so important because Jesus is telling the world a story of what appears to be unforgivable sin. But again, I want you to listen carefully, and then I'm going to give you some details about this that may change your understanding and the impact of the scripture. Let's look at this again. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave him the debt." Not lowered it. Not said, "You can pay me a little bit less." But forgave the debt. "You don't owe me anything." Okay, let's look at this. Here are some things you need to know if you don't already. Let's begin with what 10,000 talents amounts to. One talent is about 6,000 denarii, more or less, wherein each denarius is worth a day's wage for a laborer. Therefore, the first servant owes about 60 million denarii. This amount is so large it exceeds the national debt of some small countries. No one could repay that amount, even if they were to sell themselves and their family into servitude for several lifetimes. And yet, in an outrageous act of generosity and mercy, Jesus tells us the king graciously forgives the debt. Think about that. That's the enormity of this, owing so much that it is impossible to pay back. And the king forgives it. What do you think the message is from Jesus? Can you imagine that? Have you had a family member or friend owe you a large sum and you just said, don't worry about it, don't pay it back? That's some forgiveness we're talking about. Jesus says we not only should be willing to forgive a debt, he says we should forgive the debt. Where is your heart on this subject? How are you feeling about that? How many of you have seen the movie The Bridge on the River Kwai? It was made in 1957, World War II movie. As usual, Hollywood fictionalized so much of the movie, but there's something that is not fiction, and I want to share it with you because it makes such an impact, as does Jesus' parable. But if you ever get a chance to see it, it has William Holden. It's really good, but it is fictionalized. The Scottish soldiers, forced by their Japanese captors to labor on a jungle railroad, had degenerated to barbarous behavior. But one afternoon, something happened. A shovel was missing. The Japanese officer in charge became enraged. He demanded the missing shovel be produced or else. When nobody in the squadron budged, the officer got his gun and threatened to kill them all on the spot. It was obvious the officer meant what he had said. Then finally, one man stepped forward. The officer put away his gun, took the shovel, and beat the man to death. When it was over, the survivors picked up the bloody corpse and carried it with them to the second tool check. This time, no shovel was missing because there had been a mistake at the first checkpoint. The word spread like wildfire through the whole camp. An innocent man had been willing to die to save the others. The incident had a profound effect. The men began to treat each other like brothers after that. When the victorious Allies swept in, the survivors, looking like human skeletons, lined up in front of their captors and instead of attacking them, insisted, this is the true part, no more hatred, no more killing. Now what we need is forgiveness. Again, I ask, could you do that? These men were brutalized. They watched as others starved to death, were beaten to death. But when all was said and done, they said it's a time for forgiveness. Is your heart and mind with Jesus on this? Well, let's talk about the second servant. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. Now here's some things that are kind of disturbing about this, and I want you to be thinking about it. Number one, if you throw someone in prison, how are they going to pay the debt? They can't work. So he's already put that guy in an impossible situation. The second servant made the exact same plea that the first servant did to the king, and it wasn't accepted. The second servant owes 100 denarii, which is way less than the first servant owed the king. But this guy wouldn't forgive that. Do you see why Jesus makes this point? The first servant had absolutely no mercy on someone just like himself. And all too often, that's us. There are people that are just like us, and it infuriates us. It's as though we don't like to see ourselves in others. Could it be Jesus is saying we are the first servant who owe way more to God than we could ever pay back, but God has forgiven us an unforgivable debt? Unforgivable for anyone but God. You see how that scripture jumps out at you when you know the circumstances? One person owes more than they could have ever paid. The other person could have paid, but wasn't forgiven. Jesus is saying we should be more forgiving in our lives, like 70 times 7 forgiving. Anybody want to tell me 70 times 7, 490? Do you have someone in your life that you could forgive 490 times? Is there someone in your life now that you're holding a grudge against, that you just can't forgive them for what they did? When Thomas Edison was working on inventing a light bulb, it took a whole team of men 24 straight hours to put just one together. When Edison was finished with one light bulb, he gave it to a young boy helper who nervously carried it up the stairs. Step by step, he cautiously watched his hands. Obviously frightened of dropping such a priceless piece of work, well, the poor fellow, when he got to the top of the stairs, he dropped it. It took the entire team of men 24 more hours to make another bulb. Finally, tired and ready for a break, Edison was ready to have his bulb carried up the stairs again, and he gave it to the same young boy who had dropped the first one. The boy had no reason to believe Edison would forgive him, but when he was handed the second light bulb, he understood that Mr. Edison had forgiven him. When was the last time you extended true forgiveness for what would be perceived as a huge wrong done to you? I've seen in families, as a counselor and as a minister, where children no longer speak to their parent. There's a parent, there's been a divorce, those kids will have nothing to do with him or her. I can't forgive them. I just can't. Why? There are families torn apart because people won't forgive. And folks, they don't owe the amount of a small country's economy. It's not that big a deal. I've been with families where a parent kicked the child out, true story, because the child didn't vote the way the parent did. Oh yeah, that's the way you feel, huh? You're not going to vote for it? Well, then you can just get out. And they don't speak. They don't have contact with each other anymore. All because of a difference of opinion? Is that so much less than what Jesus is talking about here? You know it is. What is up with I can't forgive? These are small things. Do you demand that people think like you, that your children be like you, do what you do? Do your children demand that of you? If you're not like me, I'm not talking to you. If you don't feel the way I do, I'm not talking to you. Here comes the climax of Jesus' parable. Then his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt, which we know could never be. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And there it is. It's not just saying it, I forgive you, and then you walk off going, boy, if I could, I'd just punch them out. Right? What Jesus is talking about is complete absolution. I forgive you from my heart. I'm not going to walk away and talk about what a creep you are after this. It's done. I forgive. In light of the love and forgiveness God has shown us, how much should we love and forgive others? What stops us? This last story, and it has to do with Bright Divinity School when I was there. About 2 years before I got there, and they were still talking about this, some of the professors came up with this idea to do research. And what they thought they would do is they would have all of their seminary students that were in the preaching program assigned a task. And that task was half of them had to write a sermon concerning the Good Samaritan. The other half were given different topics. Finally, they were told to go over to a building on campus to present their sermons. And along the way, the professors had strategically positioned a guy that looked beat up, dirty, nasty, laying between the buildings there on campus, moaning just loud enough for a passerby to hear. He was slumped. You could tell this man was in need. But the professors had hypothesized those who said they went into ministry to help people, which we all say, and who had just prepared the sermon on the Good Samaritan would most likely be the ones to stop and help the guy. So here it is, the research. Let's see what happens. But that wasn't the case. And the reason is the final variable that the professor gave them, these two professors. And this is what they did. They looked at part of them and said, you're late. They were expecting you a few minutes ago. You better hurry. But to the others in another room, they said, you're early. They aren't expecting you for a few minutes. You don't have to start heading over yet. You interested in the results? Only 10% of the seminary students who were in a hurry stopped to help, while 63% of those who weren't in a hurry stopped and helped. In several cases, a seminary student going to give his talk on the Good Samaritan literally stepped over the man to get to the class where he could preach. The professors concluded it didn't matter whether someone wanted to help people or not. It just didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was whether or not they were in a hurry. And how many of us have been going down the road, we see someone on the side of the road, and we're thinking, well, I got an appointment, I got to go. And we go. The words, you're late, had the effect of making someone who was ordinarily compassionate into someone who was indifferent to suffering. Would you agree that that's true in our world today? If you're in a hurry, are you indifferent to suffering? Are you indifferent to forgiving? Are you indifferent toward the world if you're feeling that you're in a hurry all the time? You know, we could look at this story and that Jesus tells and say, well, you know, maybe the guy was so nervous after facing the king and so shook up, he got in a hurry, and I just need my money, hurry, 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 and didn't stop and think about compassion. We'll never know. But what we do know is that Jesus says, you forgive 70 times 7. Why? Because God has forgiven you an unforgivable debt. And no one on earth can say the same. An unforgivable debt. Let us be thankful that God forgives us 70 times 7. For His Son teaches we should never be in such a hurry we are indifferent to suffering, that we should never be in such a hurry that we don't forgive a debt. And we say we are His followers, do we not? I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm not forgiving this kid of mine because he won't vote the way I do, or he doesn't think the way I do, or she doesn't do the things I want her to do. They don't live their life the way I want them to. So we don't talk, ever. And I'll tell you something else, and Jesus talks about this as well. If you're the one that's wronged, it's not beyond you to be the one to forgive. They may have wronged you, but if you want to be a follower and you want to see peace and restoration of a relationship, then call. I know we've been at odds. I know things haven't worked out. I want you to forgive me. Never hurts to ask. Think about it. Forgiving the unforgivable. Would Jesus have forgiven the students who stepped over the man to get to preach their sermon on the Good Samaritan? You know He would. How much more is it incumbent upon us to forgive? That's the light. That's the truth. That is what Jesus teaches. May we forgive the unforgivable as the Lord forgives us, and may we be the people to not step over, but to stop and then say, Lord, forgive me. I was in a hurry. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give You thanks that You are with us every day. We give You thanks that You fill this sanctuary with Your love and forgiveness. We ask that You be with each one here and those who could not be with us, those joining us through Facebook, all those who are Your children, be with them, guide them, and help them to be the servants that You would have them and us to be. For we ask this in Your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.